I could dress as bad as I want, and I'll still look better than your ugly butt.
Whoa.
But how about this?
Yeah, while we're throwing barbs back and forth,
you said, hold on, today I'm on the practice field.
Testy the first day of
training first camp. First day of training camp. I'm standing on the field. Tony, instead of saying hello.
Can I relocate? Because I'm in the middle.
You are in the middle. Yeah. It's probably a good thing. So don't come over across the table.
Before you tell your story. Before you
tell, on the other side of the table.
Before you tell your story, because I want to go back to the video and then you can tell your story.
Go ahead.
When the video comes, are you going to have to wear makeup to get the glare off your bald forehead?
Yes, probably.
Okay,
that's how it works in television, bro. Huh.
Bro?
So, yeah. Oh,
well, so Jeff won't have that problem because he has hair. Yeah, I have hair.
That must be nice.
I think it'll just be you.
I don't have it. So we're on the practice field today. I haven't seen Tony in a couple weeks. It's been a while. First thing he says to me, he's like, looks like I might not be running the race. Like, oh, you're backing out already. He's backing up because we're going to run the race against each other.
He's got a hamstring. Yeah, he's got a hamstring.
Do I still get the stake if he doesn't run, he backs out with the injury?
If it's a real injury, I have a
we didn't have the rules.
Mean, it's actually now, it's, I got blood in my hamstring. It's the whole deal. I mean,
I love it medium rare, man. Let's go.
I do recall not having any stipulations.
No injury waivers. You didn't put it in the rules.
But I'm, you know.
Just saying, I'm prepared. Right. I'm ready to run, baby.
No, you're not.
Like a deer.
No, you're not.
Can we get to the first day of training camp besides the personal battle between you two?
Before we go there, Jeff, you should have seen him when I said I might not be able to run. The biggest smile came across his face. He's like, oh, good.
This is awesome. It's the best news I've heard.
Of course, you don't want to run.
Training camp underway. Got started today. This is always a fun day, right? Everybody's back in the field. It's a hot day. One of the hottest days we've had all year. But good to see the guys back. Everybody's pretty healthy for the most part coming into camp. And a lot of new faces out there, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Two guys, I think, what is it, two guys that are on PUP?
Right. Woodard, the
draft pick out of Arkansas State. Mm-hmm. And then Luke Bowanko, the center. Mm-hmm. And I think there was one other guy I thought maybe that's not participating. But, I mean, compared to what is coming out around the National Football League with all the other teams that are reporting – and having multiple players, whether it be NFI, which is non-football injury list, or PUP, or whatever designation, to the point that they can't practice, this team is coming in very clean, and that's good.
Yeah.
But what's important is not how you go in.
That's right.
It's how you come out after the fourth preseason game, leading up to the first regular season game against the Green Bay Packers.
But the good news is this. Two things. Number one, I disagree with you, JP. This is not the most exciting day.
No.
Of training camp. The most exciting day of training camp is Tuesday when the pads come on, because I've already seen all this, and it's called OTAs.
August 2nd, pads
come on. So once pads come on, that's the most exciting day. The good news I was about to get to is the reason, Jeff, we have no one on the NFI or not, you know, guys not on the PUP list or worried about whatever is because – we talked about it from the time they got out of here at the end of OTAs to the time that they showed up yesterday. Not one off-the-field issue.
Well,
let me say, no off-the-field issues that cost anyone playing time or practice time.
That's my point.
But I mean, that's what happens that time of year.
You're talking about off-the-field injuries or away from
– that's what I'm saying. Or,
exactly.
Or
you're not talking about Dan Scooter or Dan Robinson.
Or whatever, right?
Right, but – The Dan Scooter thing is in question, correct?
Yeah, it's all been cleared up.
It's all been cleared up.
We've talked about that before.
That's not an issue.
No.
The Denard Robinson, you know, is not an issue.
No.
And so in light of when you leave here, and Jeff, you and I talked about it, where you hold your breath, you can now excel. Now you hold your breath for a completely different reason, to Jeff's point, making sure that your best players, your best 22 starters, and it's more than 22, but the guys who are going to play significantly on offense and defense are all healthy when you get ready for Green Bay Packers.
The afternoon walkthrough is just ending. We can hear the players walking through the hall behind us.
Sounds like a parade.
In the old days, it would be 2 days full practice. Today, in these days, it's a practice early in the day and a walkthrough in the afternoon. So the Jaguars coming in off the field as we speak. You know, we talked a lot yesterday when veterans reported here about expectations. Gus Bradley spoke to the media for the first time, and he understands expectations outside of the building for this team, but he's got to balance that inside the building with the message he's had the last 3 years here of just getting better and continuing that trend. That's got to be a challenge for him this year, right? Especially in year four,
I think it's
right?
that's probably as big of a challenge for this football team than anything, because, you know, you listen to guys talk. I mean, Paul Posluszny talking about it's the most talented defense he's ever played on, but it's very inexperienced and young. You've got 2,000-yard wide receivers and a quarterback all coming back, and they, you know, talked about how they expect things to be better, more familiar with the offense. Yeah. You know, but it sometimes can be hard to where you focus on the process and the day-to-day activities instead of focusing in on we're going to be better. And so that's the challenge for Gus Bradley and his coaching staff, is to maintain that focus on the process and the steps that are necessary for them to be where they want to be and where they're talking about being.
And it is a fine line, because the reality is this team's done nothing. And you could humble them very quickly and say, let's just look back at the last year's results. And Gus is not about results, about the process. But if you want to, I mean, and you, so you want a humble team who's realistic where they are. But at the same time, you don't want to squash that swagger and a little bit of confidence. You know, and it's always not too bad to be borderline arrogant, especially at some positions. Like, listen, we are all that, and we're going to show you. And so it's a very fine line. And I think that's where Gus always goes back to. Let's talk about process, 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 because we focus on getting better and better. You know, it should take care, everything else should take care of itself. But I agree. It is a tough situation, because I like a confident group. You want guys believing they're good. You want guys believing they should go to the playoffs. You want to have guys believing that, you know, it's the best defense they've ever on, and they can be a dominant defense and offense and high flying, all those things. As long as the humility stays there, and that's, you realize, right, you know, kind of, listen, guys, we haven't done anything at this point. Let's go prove to everyone else. And before we prove to anyone else, let's just prove to the guys looking around in this locker room at each other that we are who we think we are.
That's what this camp's for, right? I mean, you got to go out there and play together and form as a team in a month, right?
Is that you don't want to lose what you can gain in training camp because you think you're already there.
Right.
You're not. Okay, you need to do the work to get where you need to be because you're not there yet. The worst players in the league that I played with are the ones that thought that they were really good, and they weren't good yet. I'll give you an example. Byron Leftwich. Byron Leftwich, after his first year, thought he should have been a Pro Bowler. What does that tell you about Byron Leftwich? It means he thought he's arrived. So if he thought he was at a Pro Bowl level in his first year playing, how much work ethic did he apply to get better the next year? I think when you have that attitude, you're not going to be successful.
You know, you want guys like Jeff, and there's a lot of guys we played with, but one of the guys that came to mind right when you were talking about that, you want a guy like Keenan McCardle.
Yeah, got a lot to prove.
No, but Keenan thought he was the best player in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot to prove.
He thought he was the best player in the league, but at the same time, he had the greatest work ethic of saying, I'm going to, you know, like, he had this chip on his shoulder, like Jeff said, you know, having something to prove or whatever. His mentality is like, I'm going to outwork you. I'm going to get better. I'm going to prove it to everybody. But at the same time, if you'd ask Keenan, he's open every play. He, you know, no one can cover him.
Every day and twice on Sunday.
And twice on Sunday. I mean, and so
that was Keenan.
You want the player who is, you know.
But you loved it.
You know, supremely confident. But at the same time, that voice in his head says, I can't stop now. I got to go.
A lot of guys that have that supreme confidence like Keenan had would rub people the wrong way.
Okay, yeah.
Unless you were his teammate.
That. Sure.
But because being a teammate of Keenan's, You got to see how highly competitive he was and everything that he did, and that you appreciated his confidence more than anything. And that's why I was talking earlier today on the radio, and I thought that Jimmy Smith would have never been Jimmy Smith and going into the Pride of the Jaguars. Congratulations to Jimmy, yeah, by the way. That, yeah. But he would have never gone into the Pride of the Jaguars if Keenan McCardell were not on this roster.
I agree.
And I think that both of them helped each other, but Jimmy was more dependent upon Keenan to become the player that he was, because Keenan was so supremely confident. Jimmy learned a lot from Keenan. One, about confidence. Number two, about work ethic.
No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, listen, I remember as a young player to the, you know, at the stage these guys are at. And I remember after my rookie year, it was fine. I had a good year, but I hadn't done anything. And so, you know, you go work. But I remember after the second year where I made the Pro Bowl, had this success against Bruce Smith in the playoffs, and we had that run and got all the hoopla and everything.
Wait a minute. You shut down Bruce Smith?
Can I finish the story?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
But I remember.
I heard a little about that.
The attitude that I think helped me was my thought process at that point is, I have to work harder now because whatever standard, whether it's perception or real or whatever's out there, I always wanted to be that, and I always wanted to be the best I could. But to me, it was like, now it's out there. Listen, I got to work harder because if I want to maintain this, I think it's much easier to get to the top or get to being a top-end player. It's hard to stay there. And the guys who are able to stay there are the guys who continue to work and don't stop and continue to put the effort in the offseason. A guy that comes to mind immediately is J.J. Watt. Now, he's completely obnoxious how much he tells everybody how hard he works. But the guy is a grinder as the best defensive lineman in football. And that's why he will stay there, you know, year after year, barring any injury, because it's the mindset. And that's what you want. That's what you want out of Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson had a great year. And by everything we've seen coming into the camp and, his, you know, how what kind of shape he's in and how – and heck, the plays – he made an amazing play today.
Unbelievable today.
And his attitude and everything else, it seems like that's who he is. But he had
and you love the conversation that he had with the writers this week. You know, he was asked about the offseason and what he wants to improve on. He started going down the list.
Right. And that's what you want. Because here's a guy who had, 80 or 70, whatever catches he had, over 1,000 yards, was dominant.
Where some players would say, what do I need to improve on?
Yeah,
look what I did last year. I set a franchise record for touchdowns. Yeah. But no. Hey, Rob, I want to get better at this. I want to get better at that. I need to be more consistent. I want to run better routes. I want to have a higher percentage of catches.
And that's why you get a sense that this team will be better than it was last year, and it's going to take the next step. Blake Bortles the same way. His body looks different. He obviously worked very hard. You talked to the coaches.
He's lost a little more hair.
So have I.
Well, I'm not going to – I'll let you get into – him and JP can go to the hair club for
I'll tell him all about it. Yeah.
And
it only goes downhill, Blake.
But my point is, I mean – and so you see some of these young guys doing that. And, we're not going to go down the entire list. But that is what gives you some hope and excitement and confidence that this group – is going to take the next step. Plus, the addition to the free agents don't hurt at all.
Before we go to break, we mentioned Jimmy Smith, the announcement he's going into the Pride of the Jaguars. Tony, when you first heard about it, what were your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts were different for Jimmy because, I knew Jimmy was going to be there. Like, he deserves to be there, and he's one of the best players ever played, and he's one of the best receivers to play in the game, in my opinion. During our era, you go ask any corner – who one of those toughest guys to cover in man coverage, was Jimmy Smith. They couldn't do it. And so it was never a question of whether his play that he deserved to be there. Mm-hmm. It was all the off-the-field issues that Jimmy covered with. And if you talk to people who've talked to Jimmy and you talk to he's taken some great strides and big steps towards really living a healthy lifestyle. And so I was happy for him based on that.
But concerned.
I'm always – you're always concerned. Anyone who fights those demons – you have to keep on fighting them.
You're kind of with Jimmy. I don't want to say you're conflicted, but you're happy for Jimmy because you know that his on the field stuff, without a doubt, warrants him being in the Pride of the Jaguars.
A slam dunk. Yes.
But also having a name up there comes a responsibility that you need to represent this football team and everything else to a high level away from the field as well. And my first thought was, I hope he's clean, and I hope he stays clean to receive that honor and to continue to represent his name and the Jacksonville Jaguars' name on the inside of the stadium.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff. So I was really excited for him because I'm believing the best. And from the reports, what you hear is he's doing well. And I hope he continues. But anyone who's had family members or friends or maybe themselves have gone through addiction issues – you know, it's a daily process that you have to wake up every day and say, listen, I'm not going to succumb to that. And so I'm believing the best, and I'm excited that he's up there because his play, he's one of the best to ever put a Jaguar uniform on.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. We'll hear from Paul Posluszny and talk a little defense when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
The mindset will be the same in the fact that I want to do everything that I can to be an asset for this team, you know, to play at my highest level. And I also realize the situation where Miles is, he's you know, the future linebacker of the organization. And it's I feel like it's part of my job as a veteran guy to help bring him along as fast as we can, because we need him on the field. You know, he's going to be a great player. You know, we got to see a little bit of him at the end of minicamp, but so it'll be an exciting training camp to get him up to speed and get him learn everything as fast as we can, because he's an asset to the group and we need him out there.
Paul Posluszny yesterday during his press conference as training camp began. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Remember to register now for the annual Jaguars 5K, the second annual at Everbank Field, Saturday, August 13th, under the lights. At Everbank Field, Tony Baselli's backing out with injury.
Not yet.
Online registration available at firstplacesports.com.
I'm not backing out yet.
You are. You said you have blood in your hamstring. It's not good. It means a steak for me.
No, it does not mean a steak for you. And I'm rehabbing it three times a week. Mm. And if I can start running at the end of next week, I will. I've been keep on working out. I'll beat you.
That's real cute, Tony.
So I want to make a comment on what Pose said.
Pretty powerful there, right?
You know, it's just. Nothing surprised me about Puz and his professionalism and just who he is as an individual. The guy loves ball as much as anyone on this team. He is a true pro, gets the most out of every ounce of ability he has. Even as he's gotten older, he's still a very good player. Not as good as he probably once was on third down, but really, first and second down, still, he can play middle linebacker with the best.
Tackling machine.
And for him to be that honest with himself and the reporters, say, listen, I get. I mean, he's talking about a guy who's ultimately going to take the middle linebacker job from him. Maybe not this year. Maybe they move to Otto. But ultimately, Miles Jack, I believe they feel like he's their middle linebacker on this team. And for Paul Posluszny to have that attitude and that approach, I already respected him to the utmost. But whatever, however much more I can respect him, I do. Because I think that's just class right there, this complete class of what he just the way he addressed it.
But make no mistake, Paul Posluszny is not accepting anything.
No, I didn't take that as
And I want to make that clear to the listeners.
He's
going to battle and he's going to try to keep that job for as long as he can. And in some respects, he's trying to help Miles Jack to get on the field with him, not to replace him.
So I just like that he's honest. Like, listen, I'm not going to what I heard there is like Paul, knowing Paul. I'm going to try to do everything to beat everybody out and be the best I can and be the starting Mike linebacker on this team. But at the same time, I'm going to help a kid that can help us get better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea, too. Now, if Paul Posluszny's on the field, how do you get Miles Jack on the field at the same time? That's what they're trying to work through right now.
Well, right? The weakest position right now on this football team is the auto position. You know, so there's different things that you can do to get the three linebackers on the field. And Miles Jack has got more speed than Paul, and Telvin Smith, I can't imagine him coming off the field. I mean, he's a legitimate 4-4 something guy on the field. So you're going to get two linebackers that can run like crazy.
You know what the hard part is, though? I think their defensive front is made more for an under front. Just so everyone listen, that means you have a guy who covers offensive tackle to the tight end side. You have a nose guard in Roy Miller. You have a three technique, a guy over the weak side guard. And then your Leo is playing out in space. Mm-hmm. That's the best front, I think, for this team based on personnel because of who their Leos are right now.
Or you could play up, you know, there's what Tony's talking about.
Because if you do that, that means the auto's on the line of scrimmage over the tight end. And I'm not sure that's the best position for Miles Jack. I think he's an off-the-ball player.
No, but and it also, what you'd like to be able to have happen, what Tony's talking about is also more beneficial having the auto on a tight end.
Right,
but it's also having Dante Fowler, Unique Ngakoue
in space
on the open side, away from the tight end, to where they're not trying to two gap or inside control a tight end. Which, trust me, it's not fun to do, especially if you're undersized, which those two guys are.
It's hard to pass rush from that position. As an offensive tackle, you have nowhere to. I mean, if I had a six technique lineup on a tight end, and we're passing. I mean, I'm just jumping and replacing the tight end, and
no threat of immediate speed.
That's right.
But you know, there's some defenses in the league. Jim Schwartz, the wide nine that he ran in Detroit, you know, where you kick that defensive end instead of having him lined up on a tight end head up, you kick him on the outside, you walk up somebody on the tight end, and allows that guy to be an athlete in space once again. But it also does stress a run defense. Some of the gaps, all of a sudden, now you
get goofy a little bit.
Exactly. So, but either way, it's going to be fun to watch how that plays out, how they're going to find a way to get Miles Jack on the field. But also at the same time, it's going to be fun to watch Dan Scuda, you know, because we didn't see much of him at minicamp. He didn't practice at all in minicamp.
That's right.
And also Ryan Davis making the transition. We all love Ryan Davis. Athletic, has pass rush ability. And I think this is a great long-term move for Ryan Davis to get into a 3-4 type of linebacking position to see how he makes the transition. He looks lighter than he did in minicamp, which is part of the requirement of playing that position because you're going to be playing in space, and he's an excellent athlete. So it's going to be fun to watch.
And he's used to playing in space because he does so much on teams. So it's not like he can't play in space. I mean, he's done it in teams. I mean, he's a core special teams guy.
Willing core guy.
Yeah, and now he's just got to, like Jeff said, lose a little bit of weight and learn to drop into coverage and do that kind of stuff from that auto position.
Let's stay on the defensive side of the ball and move into the secondary now. You guys mentioned it on the Gus Bradley show with Dave Caldwell, the day Jalen Ramsey had today. I mean, one of the coaches before practice told me, you know, every time I see this guy, he gets taller, I think. Just the physical specimen on the field, first off, but he can run around and play too.
I think the one thing that surprised me the first time that I saw Jalen Ramsey in person was he's high cut. High cut is a term that scouts will use for where the hips are at in location to the total height of the player. So high cut means that he's got very long legs. General managers, personnel guys typically like guys that are lower cut. They have a longer torso compared to their legs. But Jalen is high cut, longer legs, because I don't want to say that this is 100% true, but guys that are higher cut have a tendency to not be as fluid in the hips. But Jalen Ramsey, watching him today, as I was talking with Dave about, in that bump and run coverage, wow. I mean, that was a wow moment today watching him. Now, he wasn't going against Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, or Allen Hurns, or he was going against some guys, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know their names yet. I'm learning them. Okay. But boy, did he look good. And then he made a play on Julius Thomas on the far side of the field. Then Julius was trying to beg the officials that work practice for a flag, but there were no flags because Jalen Ramsey played it perfectly.
There was an end around with Marquise Lee that all of a sudden Jalen Ramsey's at the sideline. That was pretty
the flash
awesome
of Jalen Ramsey. And when he got there, the one thing I think that impressed me about Jalen Ramsey, because you know, you always compare, and I'm sure many that are fans of Florida State or went to Florida State compared Deion Sanders to Jalen Ramsey. Deion Sanders was never a willing tackler. Jalen Ramsey at Florida State was a very willing tackler. And when that end around happened today in practice, Jalen Ramsey was at Mach 5 coming across the field, beats the lead block. The lead block couldn't even keep up with him. And then when he gets to Marquise Lee, he just gave him a chest bump. But the way that the body language of that chest bump was indicated that if this were pads and live, I would have eaten your lunch three times over on your side of the table.
Well, and that's, I mean, talk about being a willing tackler. It's why some scouts, and I'm not saying Jaguar scouts, but you listen to the so-called experts during the draft time, said he could be a free safety because of how physical he was. You don't hear that a lot about corners that are great cover guys like he is. But he had the ability, they thought, to play safety because of how physical he is in tackling. And listen, the thing that stands out to me is just how long he is, how long the arms are, how good he is. You know, again, no pads, and I don't care who he's going against, but his press, his hand use, his body position, his ability to turn his hips and run with guys, and he has, I mean, listen, that's why he's one of the top picks in the draft. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, the guy was one of the best players in all of college football. And you can see why just from the skill set he has moving around out there. It's the first time we got to see him in a Jaguar, you know, jersey in this type of up-tempo competition. And he looked pretty special.
Only one day, though.
Yeah, we got a lot left.
I mean, right? It was only one day looking at Jalen Ramsey. You know, I don't want to, you know, get up. Might have given myself a speeding ticket here. Yeah, let's slow down here. It's only one day.
Plenty to talk about when we come back. We'll go on the offensive side. Tony, get ready because we're going to talk left tackle.
Can't wait.
When we come back. The stadium furniture blowout is underway at Everbank Field July 28th. That's today through the 31st and August 2nd through 4th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Bar stools, tables, chairs, vintage signage, and much more available. The sale is open to the public, held near Gate 2 right by the entrance to the practice field. Cash and credit cards accepted. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
And SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. Jaguars Thursday continues. We promised offensive talk. We got to the defense last segment. Let's go offense. And I would say the most pressing position battle in camp this year is left tackle. Beachum versus Jokel. Beachum did not get any teamwork today. He did individual work, so Jokel got most of the first team reps at left tackle. Got some left guard reps. He'll both play left tackle and left guard in camp. What'd you see today? First day in, Tony. What'd you see out of that position?
Oh, gosh. I mean, JP, you know that.
Come on, Tony. You love it.
I'm not going to make much of a judgment based on no pass.
August 2nd.
I'm not going to, because you can listen, what you learn in no pads with an offensive line is, how do they move? Are they athletic? And Luke Jokel's athletic. We know that. I mean, that's not a question of whether he's athletic or not. Kelvin Beachum's athletic. He's coming back off a knee. I wanted to see how he moved. I've seen him move in the offseason a little bit.
How'd he move?
I think he looks great. I mean, listen, it's going to take a big test for him. It's going to be when you put the pads on and the first time you feel power. And that'll take some use to him. I guess he'll get beat, you know, he won't be comfortable with the bull right away, but that's all right. I mean, that takes time. But he moves great. He looks very good movement. He is, I mean, you look at the two guys and the competition, and I said this to someone yesterday or today. The only thing you have to base it on right now is how Luke Jokel played last year and how Kelvin Beachum played in the five games before he tore his ACL. And if you're taking nothing else besides that sample, Kelvin Beachum is a better left tackle. He's one of the better left tackles in the AFC last year in the first five games. And so if you're basing the competition off that, which we're not, but don't kid yourself, that goes into the mind of scouts and coaches.
Absolutely.
What you've done in the past.
It has to.
And so if you're Luke Jokel, you're fighting uphill a little bit based on perception. And so the mindset has to be, I'm going to go win the job and understand that I might be playing, if I was in a race right now, I might be a step or two behind. And I got to catch him and I got to pass him. So I got to go play at the high level with the ability that I have and work on some of the technique issues I have and get better. And if he does that, it'll be a great competition because Luke Jokel is very, very talented.
Very athletic. The one I won't make a judgment of what's going to happen. I've already made that.
One day.
I think that, you know, Kelvin Beachum's going to be starting left tackle. But the observation that I had today, and I made this point with Dave Caldwell, is that you could tell that Kelvin Beachum got gassed in the individual. But that's typical. Both Tony and I have been through ACL reconstructions.
I wanted to throw up the first individual.
You spend so much time rehabbing and working the rehab protocol that you're not working football conditioning drills because you can't yet. You know, it's a process that has to be worked up to. So you could tell that he's a little bit behind on the conditioning level, which is to be expected, and it will take some time for that. And then the more he becomes conditioned, the more confidence he'll gain. And the better that he will look play after play after play. But right now, yeah, he looked like he was a little out of shape. But it's not out of shape.
He's not out of shape. He's just out of football shape.
He's in one of the steps of the process in the rehab protocol, which is to be expected.
You know, and you look at, you know, one of the comments we heard all season, and it's true, is how much, you know, Luke Jokel's gotten bigger and stronger and all that, which I think is true. I mean, you look at him.
Well, 2 years ago to last year, he got bigger.
Yeah, right? I think he's gotten bigger again.
Bigger from even there.
I don't think that's his problem. I don't think that Luke Joka wasn't strong enough. To me, it's always been, and I said this last year on the radio, and I said it during broadcast, it's a technique issue. It's a confidence issue of being out in space and feeling confident with your technique to redirect individuals and control the defensive end at the point of contact, especially when they come with power. I mean, that's technique. It's some mental, because listen, I've been there. You get bowled. I mean, I remember games. You get bowled early in a game. It's like, oh my gosh, it's not a good feeling.
No, because you know, I can tell you as a defender, I'd always lead a game off with power, because some guys
just can't deal with it.
They couldn't react to it.
Right.
They couldn't respond to it. They responded by changing the technique that they then had. Because if you got one good bull rush on them,
they start leaning.
The head starts to drop. They start to lean, and guess what? That opens everything else. That's where Luke Joka is at.
And I think I told the story on there before. I remember playing the Washington Redskins. Ken Harvey was a double-digit sack guy for a long time with the Cardinals and the Redskins. And he was a speed power guy. He had power. Not huge.
Sneaky power.
Yeah, sneaky power. And I remember first third down of the game, and I caught him whispering, or he had notioned to somebody that he was going to bowl me. He didn't know I was paying attention. I mean, I always pay attention to what those guys are talking about and doing. The whole time I'm in the huddle listening, I'm looking at my guy I'm playing, see if I can pick up anything. And so he tried to bowl me the first play, and I knew it was coming, so I knew he was dead. And I sat down and stoned him, literally in his tracks, where his feet stopped. And guess how many times I got bowled the rest of the game by Ken Harvey?
None.
Zero. Not one time the rest of the game.
That was his mistake.
You know what?
I would have came back and bowled you again.
You probably would have. And I would have stoned you again. But if he would have got a bowl on me there and pushed me back, guess how many times I've seen the bowl the rest of it? About 10 to 15 times.
Yep.
Mm. And so you have to.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. Yep. I mean, listen, I've been in games as a left tackle where I got bowled early, and I'd literally sit on the bench and talk to myself and say, don't change your technique. Trust it. Go out and do what you practice. Trust it, trust it, trust it. To the point where I'd go out there and I would go and not worry about the bull and just trust it. Because I had to. Because when I started worrying about the bull, I get in trouble.
There was only one person that made you fear the bull every time in the league? Every time.
Reggie White.
That's true.
It didn't matter how good you were getting bulled.
That's true.
Let's stay on offense. What else stood out to you guys today? Blake, A-Rob had a huge, incredible catch. You can see it on Jaguars.com on Inside the Jaguars, by the way, the catch by A-Rob today on the sideline. But nothing really bad stood out, right?
I will say this.
The first series of blitz for the first unit of four plays, it was a fumbled snap.
Yep.
It was a batted ball.
Motion penalty.
It was a pick and a sack.
Well, that's not good.
No,
but I want to say this about
force. I'm not saying that, like, oh gosh. I'm just saying there was some bad things that happened. Is my point.
Right. With Allen Robinson, I made this comment to Dave Caldwell. I love watching body language of players, and it's while they play, but then also when the play is over, what are they doing in between plays? And I love watching Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, because if one's on the field and one is not, as soon as they come off, they're talking and communicating and trying to make each other better and talking about what they see and what they should do. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I think that Keenan was able to do with Jimmy, and the things that make players better is when they're challenging themselves and they're teaching themselves more above and beyond what Jerry Sullivan is doing or any other coach is doing on the field. That's the thing, I think, body language-wise, that you see when the whistle has already blown and it's over with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. Those are the kind of players you want.
You know, one of the things that stood out to me about the receiver group today was, one, there was no rotation that made sense to me. It wasn't like there was the one group where you had Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and whether it was Marquise or Rashad as a slot. Like, that's your one group, and then they would work four ups together. And they were just different combinations, and a lot of times A-Rob and Allen Hurns weren't together. I did not, and maybe I didn't watch every play super close, but it didn't seem like Marquise was getting a lot of reps at the any wide receiver position. And even like I remember the last team period, the first group had none of the guys that I would thought were starters when they went out to break it. So I don't know. It's interesting what the purpose is, why the rotation. Obviously, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns are your starters. But it was interesting how they rolled guys through this first practice.
Plenty to get to when we come back. We'll go around the National Football League, a former Jaguars head coach now working for the league. We'll get to that. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Brian Sexton here. There's nothing better than the cheer of Jaguars fans on game day. That's the same sound you could be making as a winner of the Dreamfinders Homes Take It to the House promotion. As the official home builder of the Jags, Dreamfinders is offering a chance for you to win $100,000 towards a new home. All you have to do is visit a Dreamfinders model to register. Now that's something to cheer about. For more information, visit DreamfindersHomes.com. The models near you. And oh yeah, go Jags!
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call in America today. 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Daly's has plenty of reasons for you to stop by while you're waiting for the next Jaguar season. Whether you need to get your day started right with a fresh cup of Daly's Grind Coffee, or set the mood when you get home with a bottle of wine from the Daly's Reserve, Daly's is ready to make your day just a little nicer. And the next time you're at Daly's, sign up for the Daly's Rewards program so you can join other fans who earn free rewards every time they shop at Daly's. Daly's, it's nicer here.
Proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Daily's Kickoff Kid.
This is Tim S. Marshall, president of Copytronics, a Konica Minolta company. Konica Minolta is an innovatively powerful worldwide company, leaders in super technology that can help your company grow. Konica offers powerful software solutions, exceptional IT services, and award-winning digital copier systems. Konica is ranked as one of the best companies to work for by Forbes magazine. Partnering up with the Jacksonville Jaguars, this is Tim S. Marshall, president of Copytronics and market vice president of Konica Minolta Business Solutions.
Hi folks, Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town. That's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's barbecue at 6 different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's barbecue. So if you want great barbecue, you want Bono's. And remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono.
Purchase their diamonds from brokers. That means you're dealing with a middleman, whether you know it or not. At Beard's Jewelry, there is no middleman. No brokers. No diamond houses. No sales commissions. So when Beard's says their prices are lower than the other store's sale prices, it's 100% true. When you shop and compare, you'll see the difference. When you shop at Beard's, you'll know the difference. Beard's Jewelry at the Town Center.
I'm Jeff Prosser, and we're talking Jaguars weekday mornings on The Drill. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM, home of the Jaguars.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Register now for the Florida Blue Family Night with Nickelodeon. Friday, August 5th at Everbank Field, the Jags and Nickelodeon are teaming up for a kid zone in the south end zone during the annual Jaguars scrimmage, not in the actual end zone, in that end of the stadium. Gates open at 5:30. Scrimmage is free. But you must register at jaguars.com/family night.
I know the Pokemon hunt
went
really well with like 15,000 people.
Did you catch them all, Jeff?
I don't do it. Don't lie. No, I don't.
Don't lie.
I ride along with my son. And he does it.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand the whole thing. I think it's silly.
I mean, it's Jones. It's catching characters and all that. But, I mean, one heck of a turnout for that.
Almost 15,000 people.
Yeah. My boys do it, and I just make fun. I make fun of them.
No, that's real nice, Tony.
Well, I just don't understand it. I make fun of things I don't understand. That's how shallow I am.
This we know. We've known this for
that's
a while.
That's why I make fun of you. I don't understand you.
That's fair. Let's look around the National Football League. Tom Coughlin taking a job with the NFL's Football Operations Department. The department works on officiating rules and communicating with coaches and players about the game on the field.
I'm sure the officials are going to love that.
I got one question.
He works so well with them on game day.
Is Tom Coughlin going to work on officiating coaching relationships and how to deal with one another in a respectable fashion?
Does he have to take a class first? Because I never saw that.
Tom would have to go to anger management classes before he does that.
He didn't get along so well, huh?
I just, you know, the body gyrations that, you know, and the red faced and the beady eyes that would come out when he would disagree with an official's call or anything. And it was just, I'm sitting there, I remember as a player going, Tom, you're not helping it out because you know what? At some point later in this game, we might need a call, and he's going to go, I'm going to put it to Tom Coughlin. Here, yeah, take that. He was not very good at being respectful to officials at times.
He's found something to do, though, to stay in the game.
He's got to have something to do. That's how he's wired.
He's a wealth of knowledge. I think it's great. I think he'll be a great asset to the league. There's nobody who arguably loves the game as much as he is passionate about coaching and understands the rules. I mean, that's one thing. Tom understood the rules of football. I mean, he knew every aspect of it. And so I think it's a great hire, and I think it's great for all kidding aside. I think he'll do a great job at it.
He will.
Multiple suspensions could bring big fines for the Cowboys and the Steelers. The Cowboys have Gregory, Lawrence, and McClain all suspended. So 25% of the collective forfeited base salary will go to the league, a maximum payment of $250,000 coming out of the Cowboys' pocket. Not a huge deal in the grand scheme of things.
Well,
$250,000.
You start adding suspensions up, that's costing some money.
Randy Gregory supposedly, you know, checked himself in to treatment, whatever kind of treatment that is, I don't know. But, you know, he had the knock coming out of college. That's why he fell to where he was at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back to the conversation with Dave Caldwell, about a defensive end by the name of Greg Hardy.
Heard about him.
You know, Randy Gregory was a young player right in Dallas Cowboys football team last year, and you got a guy like that. I mean, what kind of influence was he on that? That's one of the reasons why I was going, okay, I don't want to see Greg Hardy here. You've got some young players on this roster that could be influenced. But, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys right now are a mess, an absolute mess because of the suspensions. You know, and you wonder, you know, in Dallas you've got an owner, and then you have a coaching staff. The owner is the general manager and the head coach, who typically instills the discipline on a football team.
It's the head coach.
Right? Who has to give permission to instill discipline with a football team? The general manager and the owner.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get the feeling that Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones are on the same page as far as disciplining players and holding them accountable? I don't.
I don't know. Yeah, there hasn't been a great track record of that.
What's what happens? You listen.
At least on the outside.
Taking a chance every once in a while, I understand. But taking chances every year on draft picks and free agents, it's going to come back to bite you, and it has. I mean, come on. You roll the dice enough, you're going to come up sevens. And right now, Jerry Jones' philosophy is – not that they don't care about the off-field stuff, but they sure close an eye to
it. They are really willing
for a long time
to accept a lot of things, and it's amazing that, you know, I just saw today that the top three selling jerseys in the National Football League are Dallas Cowboy, Dallas Cowboy, Dallas Cowboy.
And four out of the top five.
Romo, Dez Bryant, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott's under investigation right now. Something he for a I believe it's a domestic violence.
Yeah, which he claims is bogus.
And I'm not saying it one way or another. We don't know. But listen, it's another distraction you don't want if you're a club.
If another player is suspended, the Cowboys will have to bring a full third of the lost wages for each player. So that just keeps adding up if you keep adding suspended guys.
Wow.
For the Cowboys. Ryan Fitzpatrick signed today just minutes before camp started with the Jets. 1 year, $12 million.
$12 million, and that's good for him because, I mean, they got a draft pick that they think is going to be pretty good. The draft pick that he got from Penn State, I believe, was Hackenberg. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Did I get the name right?
Project, he hurt his shoulder here in this in the bowl game here.
Yeah, and Tony's right. He's going to be a project. But for Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's a way to end what was really going nowhere on a multiple-year deal and to get into camp without missing any time and to pick up where he left off last year. And he was very productive for the Jets last year with Aaron Decker and Brandon Marshall. You know, the big question for them is who's going to run the football because Chris Ivory's here.
That's right, yeah. What do you think of Fitzpatrick, Tony?
If you look at the history of Fitzpatrick, he has a really good year, gets paid, and then it kind of goes downhill after that a little bit. So hopefully not. I mean, happy for him. I think the Jets realize, listen, they have a pretty dang good roster around them, a very good defense. They have a couple receivers. They have a strong offensive line. They need to find a running back, but you look around the league, typically you can find that guy if you have talent around him. And I think they said, listen, we have a chance, especially where the Patriots are, with Tom Brady being suspended 4 games, then maybe we can knock out the Patriots, win the division title, and get in the playoffs and make a run. And they needed Ryan Fitzpatrick to do that. I did not see them doing that with Geno Smith.
No, but they were trying to give that impression. That was probably the funniest thing of all.
And if Ryan Fitzpatrick has another year like he did last year, he's going to get paid even more next year.
The thing of it is, if Geno Smith doesn't have his jaw broken a couple of years ago, are we even talking about this?
That was last year.
Yeah. Were you talking about this?
Well, I think it was a competition during camp.
Well, he would have won, right?
No.
I don't think
so.
No?
I don't believe that. I mean, I think it would have been a true battle.
That was last year. You're right. Yep.
Yeah, what was the Nkampali?
Nkampali.
He actually has a chance to be a starter for the Buffalo Bills this year.
Right, absolutely. Jimmy Garoppolo, as you would expect, is excited about the chance to start for the Patriots and reports today of an even split of reps in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills with the first team between him and Tom Brady. That's the balance now for the Patriots. How do you balance practice time for Brady? He's going to be out the first 4 games. With Garoppolo, who's going to be your guy early.
The closer you get to the regular season, the more reps Garoppolo gets. That's how it works. Because he's starting the first 4 games. I mean, Tom can do nothing for 4 games. He's a veteran. You know he's going to be ready when it's time.
He'll work on his own in those four games.
How are you going to simulate practice and games in 4 weeks?
You're not going to, but my point is, I mean, do you think he'll have a problem coming back week 5?
No.
Neither do I.
No, because you know what? As we've seen with Tom Brady, when they're just like last year with Deflategate came out ripping it, when the Patriots had the accusations of Spygate and all that, he came out and he was ripping it.
No, we saw that firsthand last year.
When the questions came out, remember when he had a bad stretch of games and people were questioning whether Tom Brady was Tom Brady anymore.
I was after a Monday night game against Kansas City.
And what did he do after that? He ripped it up. Yeah, so Tom Brady.
They asked him if they were gonna pull him.
He is
in the press conference.
He is a guy that if he's got a little extra motivation, he takes it and runs, and I guarantee it's going to be the same way here.
We'll see what happens in New England. Warren Sapp in the news this week, but for a different reason than his past few run-ins. Bit by a shark.
He met a mouth bigger than his.
During a lobster expedition in the Florida Keys.
How about that? It was a nurse shark. Big deal.
Small bite.
So, come on.
You haven't.
The nurse shark.
He did. He finally met a mouth that has a bigger bite than his. He always thought that his mouth had the most bite of all.
I didn't even know nurse sharks bit people, Jeff.
I didn't either.
He must have really disliked Warren.
Any shark can bite.
The shark wanted the lobster more than he did, I guess.
Sapp was probably talking trash to the shark, and the shark had enough of it. That would be my guess.
I saw a comment today that the shark gargled and spit afterwards. But who knows? That'll do it for our look around the National Football League. Jaguars are back on the field tomorrow, 10 o'clock to about 12:30, and it is open to the public. Jaguars.com/training camp practices to register to attend training camp practices. I think there are 10 more open to the public. The Tampa Bay practices a little later in August are a separate registration, as is the scrimmage on August 5th. So,
what are the dates of the Tampa Bay practices? Do you have
17th and 18th, I believe, somewhere in there. The week of that preseason game.
Second week, because the 14th is the Jets game.
Yeah.
Or not the 14th, is it?
No.
It's not the 14th, it's before that. And then so it's the week of that, though, is when
so
the
it's
practice
the,
with the Bucs.
Right.
Like, you're right.
A couple days before is the second practice,
yep.
Right. So
the second
Jets
preseason
game is
game.
The 11th.
Yes. That's the first
11th.
Game.
That's first game.
Yeah.
And then probably, like you said,
17, 18.
That's right.
Yeah, it's about right. So those are separate registrations. Go to Jaguars.com to check those out. Day two on the field tomorrow. And we are knee-deep in training.
It'll be hot. The extended forecast is continuing to be hot. And looking at the hour-by-hour forecast, it's reaching 90 degrees, typically right at 10 a.m. And the worst part is from 10 a.m. to 12 might be the hottest time of the day because you don't have any breeze. I mean, it is extremely hot at that time of the day.
It's one a days, Jeff. Come on.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm not talking about for the players. I'm talking about for me personally to go out there
sweating.
And watch it.
I was miserable out there.
I mean, it's an Gatorade and a four water practice.
And change of the shirt when you leave.
Tony dropped 30 pounds and he doesn't have it to drop anymore. That's how hot it was today.
What
are you down to, by the way? I'm not jealous, but what
you are. No, 265.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
My plane weight.
That's your plane weight.
It was. Somewhere in that range.
Wow.
Yeah, 265. High school graduation weight.
That's pretty strong.
That's really strong. Well done, guys. Our new 7 o'clock time slot for the season is here.
Yeah, for the rest of the year, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.?
10 a.m., I'll be there.
Are you doing anything for Jaguars.com live?
We'll have some post-practice live coverage tomorrow.
Outstanding.
So check it out.
I look forward to catching it on the website. Jaguars.com.
For Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, John Denny in the house tonight. I'm JP Shadrick. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.